This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio number 1325. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, primarily shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded August 8th, FCC supports broadband over power lines. Broadcasting war with Cuba heats up. New frequency from Venezuela. African media news. Big new medium wave signal from Germany. Uzbekistan on shortwave. China cracks down. And the propagation outlook. Last week, we mentioned that the Federal Communications Commission was going to consider the matter of broadband over power lines on August 3rd. And indeed, they did. There have been a number of reports about this, including this one by Wayne Rash from eWeek.com, sent on to us by Ken Kopp and Roger Frommann. Headline, FCC supports broadband over power lines. It decided to reaffirm its stance on deploying this. They adopted an order affirming that BPO providers have the right to provide data access using power transmission lines, provided they don't interfere with existing radio services. By adopting this order, the FCC rejected requests by several groups, including the ham radio community, the aviation industry, and broadcasters, to either limit the service or to disallow it completely. It did adopt provisions to protect some aeronautical stations and radio astronomy sites from interference. An ARRL report about this, sent on to us by Bill Smith, added, the order turned down requests by licensed users, including hams, to exclude the use of certain frequencies for BPL operations. And the FCC denied requests to keep BPL signals off overhead medium voltage lines and to impose more stringent technical restrictions and measurement requirements on BPL operations. Nick Leggett, N3NL, remarks to DX Listening Digest, this is an unfortunate decision by the FCC. Amateur radio will be heavily hit by interference, as it is now by the BPL prototype system in Manassas, Virginia. An article on TechWeb.com via Mike Terry says in its latest memo, the FCC indicated it will try to resolve interference issues as they arise. Meanwhile, a story in the Daily Texan 2 days earlier via Mike Cooper says that the city of Austin has accepted a proposal that would clear the way for testing broadband internet service through an electrical outlet. Approved at the city council, the trial will run through February 1st. Well, much more could be said about this, but in case you're not familiar with the BPL issue, just because ham radio may get some protection, and that's not at all clear, that's not good enough for us shortwave listeners. We require all the shortwave spectrum to be protected from power line interference. Via CommanderElliott.com, we learn of the death of a recently appointed attorney for Radio Free Asia. Robert Wone, W-O-N-E, age 32, was stabbed in a townhouse near DuPont Circle. This was covered in the Washington Post of August 4th. And an update on the 5th said, the evidence we've found would lead us to believe Mr. Wone was not the victim of some happenstance. The attack was specific towards him. And of course, there's been a great deal of information about the Cuban situation. First, some comments from Charles A. Taylor in North Carolina. He says, we're in the third row watching their performance. Radio Havana, Cuba will broadcast somber music on Castro's death, and that's for those not even in the stadium. If violence breaks out, we'll have a good idea of where it is localized by a wrong program on a station in that city, or a station off the air. A technician being nervous, if there's shooting going on, may mispatch an audio line or not even plug it in. If you notice an erratic but slight frequency change, such as half a kilohertz, that could indicate faults in the power system nearby. If audio goes from Havana out toward Oriente Province via landline, look for loss of audio on stations east of a point of conflict. Rather than the conflict starting in the mountains, it'll probably start in the cities. For folks in the sticks, life may go on as usual. Small stations will be a little bit in the dark. On the WTFDA list, Peter Baskin refers to a story in the Palm Beach Post of August 3rd about relatives trying to contact people in Cuba. they may get through, but the Cubans inside are not saying much about what's happening. Furthermore, it says Jorge Loaces, a ham in Boca Raton, listens every night to the 20, 40, and 80-meter bands and believes the state agency regulating ham radio in Cuba has prevented operators there from being on the air. However, this is not exactly certain, as there were other reports that some Cuban hams were still being heard. Oscar de Cespedes forwards a story from Cubanet.org that the government is blocking access to the foreign press, that is, not allowing journalists into the country from various Latin American countries and the U.S. This, of course, drew immediate objections from Reporters Without Borders. That's a very useful site to check out, not only about Cuba, but China and other countries with press restrictions, www.rsf.org. A Miami Herald story via Ken Kopp and Mike Terry says illegal but relatively widespread on Cuba. TV satellite dishes are giving many Cubans some light relief and a view of the momentous events, very different from the government-monopolized media propaganda. What's going on with exile broadcasting into Cuba? Oscar de Cespedes in Miami was listening to Radio Martí, and on Saturday, August 5th, he heard them announce that starting on Sunday, TV Martí would be on the air every evening between midnight and 04 UT on Channel 20. Then on August 6th, the Miami Herald reported in Spanish that these transmissions would be via a C-130 plane, which has been used before, but this was apparently incorrect. A follow-up story on August 7th via Terry Kruger from the Miami Herald said that instead they're using a Gulfstream G-1, a so-called civilian aircraft and a relatively small one contracted by the U.S. government and flying out of Key West. The new flights are Monday through Saturday evenings, part of a $10 million allotment by Congress for an airborne broadcasting project for TV Martí. Via Artie Bigley and Mike Terry, the Bradenton, Florida newspaper had more details about this. It says the new privately owned plane was set to go up in mid-August, but TV Martí pushed the date forward after Castro transferred powers. It's a new G1 twin-turbo propeller plane to increase transmissions from one afternoon a week to six. On the Radio Martí side, I've not noticed any changes on shortwave, going along as usual on three frequencies at once in the daytime, and at least two of them audible here with heavy jamming. However, there have been a number of reports about the Virgin Islands station, WDHP 1620, relaying Radio Martí. They've been doing this already, I think, on weekend afternoons and evenings. And so far, no jamming reported on that. Beware if you hear Spanish on 1620. There are other stations, especially in Argentina, on the same frequency. As a result of all this, WRMI has been changing its schedule, and it still hasn't settled down. On August 4th, Jeff White told me we have another new program, Radio Cuba Libre, sponsored by Municipios de Cuba en el Exilio, Monday through Saturday from 06 to 09 UT on 9955, including segments from various other Cuban groups, and at least two more Cuban organizations are thinking of resuming transmissions, including Hijos de Bayamo. As for transmissions from Cuba itself, I've noticed some Radio Havana frequencies have been missing or much weaker than usual. However, that can happen even when there is not a crisis underway, so one can never be quite sure what's going on. For example, 9550 was quite weak the morning of August 5th, around 1316 UT, so weak that I could hear two other communist clashes on the same frequency from China and Vietnam. Oh, getting back to TV Martí from the plane, not only Channel 20, but may also be on Channel 13. On August 5th, I ran across a weak signal on 15250 at 2338 UT, hoping it was something exotic, but it turned out to be a new frequency for Radio Nacional de Venezuela, which of course is only relayed via Cuba, and indeed it was parallel to 13680. 2 days later, the new 15250 was booming in with an excellent signal and excellent modulation for the one-hour broadcast at 23 UT, only in Spanish. And they've had a lot to say about the situation in Bolivia lately, another ally of Cuba, thanks to Evo Morales. Following up our report that Radio Huanta 2000 in Peru had changed frequency Rogildo Aragão in Bolivia says they keep flipping back and forth, sometimes on 4755 and others on 4747. On the Radio Escutas list, Luis Shane Ineto in Limeira, São Paulo, reported August 2nd that the tropical band station in his town, Radio Educadora de Limeira, had finally reactivated its tropical band outlet, 2380 kHz, on the air in the evenings with religious programming, but apparently quite low power. He contacted the station and they could not say just what the power was. It was also heard by Paulo Cabral in Espírito Santo between midnight 30 and 0120 UT. And then Luis Shiny Neto says it signs on at 22 UT and stays on the air until sunrise. In his panorama column for Atividade de Xix, Célio Romais says Radio Pioneira de Teresina, Brazil, on 5015, has 1 kilowatt scheduled between 13 and 23 UT. Meanwhile, Radio Integração do Cruzeiro do Sul is inactive on 4765 from Acre. Another Brazilian, Radio Guarujá, Florianópolis, nominal 5980, has been splattering many kilohertz above and below its frequency with severe modulation problems, as noted by Luis Shiny Neto. It used to be quite a reliable signal from West Africa, Guinea on 7125, but it's quite irregular lately. However, in Costa Rica, Raul Saavedra says it was being heard on August 3rd around 2230 UT. And in Noticias de X, Ignacio Sotomayor in Spain says he also heard it around 0600 only on July 30th and August 1st. As we first mentioned 2 weeks ago, ORTN in Niger, or La Voix du Sahel, is still being heard on its active shortwave frequency 9705. However, there's interference much of the time. Torsten Hallmann in Germany said August 4th, it appears they're back to their full schedule there between 05 and 22 or 23 UT. Now, sometimes the frequency is exactly 9705 and other times 9704. It does not seem to be drifting, it's just that it's one or the other, says Jari Savolainen in Finland. And don't confuse with Ethiopia, which is in between, somewhere around 9704.2, reported by Wolfgang Büschel and Roberto Scaglioni. On August 6th, Jerry Lenneman in Texas heard what was apparently Niger, signing off promptly at 2200 on 9705. BBC Monitoring says they have a new website, www.ortn-niger.com. As of August 3rd, Torsten Hallmann in Germany says the Voice of Nigeria was heard on 15120 instead of 7255 for all their services throughout the day. Although after 2200, Raul Saavedra in Costa Rica was still hearing something on 7255 in English. What could it be? DX Mix News in Bulgaria was monitoring 15120 on August 4th, 5th, and 6th, and they have a full language schedule between 05 and 23, and also show when there's co-channel interference. I'll just mention the English broadcast from 05 to 07, clashing with China after 0630. 10 to 12, 15120 apparently in the clear in English. At 12 to 15, more English, but it clashes with Radio Liberty and VOA. 17 to 21, another clear period for English from Nigeria on 15120. I recommend to keep an ear on 7255 anyway in case they change again, or they might even have two transmitters going. The summer issue of Thomson Radio News via Wolfgang Büschel and Bernd Trutenau says a dream comes true after years of planning and study. The Voice of Nigeria has contracted Thomson for a supply of a DRM turnkey station close to the capital, Abuja, starting with a 250-kilowatt DRM transmitter and a fixed curtain antenna. The second phase will include two additional transmitters and a rotatable antenna system. The media network, the Daily Trust in Abuja, Nigeria, says the federal government has taken steps that may lead to the curtailment of operations of Radio Nigeria in Kaduna, deploying and transferring all its correspondents to the FRCN headquarters in Abuja. Meanwhile, the shortwave transmission from Kaduna appears to remain active on 4770. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio number 1325. Our address, P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702 USA, or WORADIO at yahoo.com. Consult our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Our thanks this week for financial support go to David Gleason. As for World of Radio on WRMI, as I said, their schedule is in flux, but Jeff White told me August 8th that the new Cuban transmissions have preempted everything that had been on between 05 and 09 UT 7 days a week. That included a lot of DX programs, including World of Radio. He hopes to place some of the programs at other times throughout the schedule. Meanwhile, we have our usual selection of shortwave airtimes on WWCR and WBCQ. You can find a link to our schedule at worldofradio.org. Here's a mystery, apparently from Africa, I hope our listeners will help to solve. Something on 6110 between 18 and 19 UT. It's not appearing in any of the listings. Torsten Hallmann in Germany says, heard from August 1st to 3rd, between 18 or 1830 and 19, but no ID. Mostly African-French talk, not much music, but what there was traditional African. A schedule was given in French around 1858, and he heard Mojave mentioned. It could be a service for the Congo DR transmitted from Mojave or in that general area. Maritz van Driescher in Belgium also reports 6110, talks in French about Nigeria, nice drumming music. It was best between 1810 and 1850 UT, August 3rd. Meanwhile, Tony Rogers has compiled a comprehensive history of the high-power shortwave transmitter site at Moyagbi, Gabon. It's on the website of the British DX Club, a chronology year by year about what happened there on its 25th anniversary. You can find it in the articles index page at www.bdxc.org.uk. Here's another intriguing mystery. In the Nashville Flash Sheet, Brant Hunt in South Carolina reported hearing a clandestine program from Zimbabwe in English August 1st at 1732 on 11705, talking about the dire situation in Zimbabwe, a poor signal. He assumed this was radio voice of the people via Madagascar, and indeed that station had been using 11705 some time ago, but it's currently scheduled on another frequency, 7120, according to the Radio Netherlands transmission schedule. So what could this be? Looking at what else is on 11705 during that hour, I find Radio Liberty via Morocco to the Caucasian area in languages there. However, this was reported in English, so my theory is that once again IBB got its program feed lines crossed up and the Zimbabwe service went out at least on that date via the Morocco transmitter aimed at Caucasia. But nothing has been confirmed about this. You might try it again around 1730 on 11705 and see what you hear. In communication of the British DX Club, Tony Rogers says the evening window for hearing Radio Rwanda clearly on 6055 here in the UK has been extended by half an hour following the closure of Radio Slovakia International. Now Kigali is in the clear from 1958 when China closes via Albania until 2059 when Japan opens via UK on 6055, and Rwanda itself signs off a minute later at 2100. Unfortunately, this does not include the English newscast, which Victor Gunatelka points out is at 1830. He hears it in Sri Lanka, or rather 1835. The BBC's new schedule for the Caribbean, of great interest to us in North America, since they do not condescend to broadcast to us anymore on shortwave intentionally. I believe I mentioned last week that one of the frequencies, 11675 via Greenville on the new schedule, from 21 to 22, was missing. He kept checking for it every day, and it finally started on August 6th, and he says it was a strong and steady signal. At the same time, Cypress Creek is on 13765, where the audio is cleaner. In Georgia, Mike Cooper says, as expected, the Cypress Creek transmissions are useless for him. He's too close. They're skipping over. From French Guiana, 6130 and 9750 between 11 and 13 were fair to poor. Best of the lot was 5975 for the hour at 2200. In Houston, Stephen Luce says 13765 from 21 to 23, WHRI, relaying BBC, has been variable, decent on peaks, but overall mediocre. Kai Ludwig in Germany has been observing the frequency 1575, the transmitter in Burg, Germany. It's back on the air, partly with Oldie Star programming and partly relaying Voice of Russia. And it's partly in DRM and partly in analog. There was one rumor on a forum that it would be carrying a station from Eastern Asia. What could that be? But not the Voice of Russia. On August 2nd, Martin Elba in Germany told the Medium Wave DX Yahoo group, Oldie Star testing 1575, still in AM, but the intention is to go DRM as soon as possible. There's more DRM from WDR on 1593. That makes four transatlantic channels, 1570 through 1600. History, what a bloody nuisance for European medium wave DXers. In the medium wave circle, Steve Whitt in the UK says Oldie Star is the dominant signal on 1575 at 2130 UT. When it switches to DRM, I assume it will wipe out everything else. The frequency was also observed by Martin Elba carrying Voice of Russia in English in the morning, actually the Asia and Australia service, ignoring that it's on medium wave in Germany, and at 19 UT it was carrying in Russian, Russian International Radio. Kai Ludwig says, I expect 1575 to be run in AM for the time being. Voice of Russia wants to reach real-world audiences via all the medium wave outlets they lease in Germany. Martin Elba points out the Russians are running all these other frequencies in Germany, 603, 630, 693, 1323, and 1431. And he suspects the German taxpayer is covering this, not being paid by Russia. Anyhow, I guess they're still testing all this because he notes the power, or the strength, varies widely. Could be as little as 10 kilowatts or as much as 500. And Ola Alm in Sweden also notes a very low modulation level from the Voice of Russia on 1575. Ulmar Kvik in Sweden also noted a drop in strength on 1575 from they switched from Voice of Russia to Oldie Star at 2200. Then Kai Ludwig found a press release from Oldie Star August 8th saying that they're testing DRM for 12 hours a day, 8 to 14 and 22 to 04 UT. If you hear something on 17484 or 18075 and it's in Italian, those would be spurs from Rome on 17780, reported by Tony Rogers, BDXC UK, at 1830 UT. BBCDX, Vlad Titarov in Ukraine, reports the 6th harmonic of Izmir, Turkey, on 5562.038 at 1750 UT. It should be interesting to monitor what Iran is saying over the current situation in Lebanon. DX Mix News Bulgaria provides their latest English schedule for 57 minutes. At 0130, known as the Voice of Justice to North America, 7235 and 9495. At 10:30, 15600 and 17660. At 15:30, 7370 and 9635. At 19:30, 6205, 7205, 9800 and 9925. And at least temporarily relayed via Lithuania on 7540. Afghanistan's only shortwave broadcast transmitter, a low-powered one, is reported by Leif Rohel in Sweden, shortwave bulletin, on 9345, Radio Sol in Bagram. He says the frequency was totally free for about 5 minutes, August 1st at 1707. And then Israel overrode it. What about the 100-kilowatt transmitter from India, supposedly being installed in Afghanistan? Well, the annual report of All India Radio says it is just about completed. At least for a few more months, Uzbekistan is carrying out lots of relays of foreign stations on shortwave. Tony Rogers compiled a schedule of all this. It appears in DX Listening Digest 6117, mostly in South Asian languages. But here are some of the English broadcasts. and CVC International, which if you didn't know better, you might think was coming actually from Australia, 01 to 03 on 7355, 03 to 06 on 13685. Also, Radio Netherlands at 14 to 16 on 9345. And Vatican Radio at 1530 to 1550 on 12065, all via Uzbekistan. In case you find it difficult to hear Myanmar's scheduled English broadcasts, try this. Ron Howard in California was hearing English lessons at 1330 UT on 5040.4, August 5th. A couple of items recently from Reporters Without Borders about China. Chinese go further, faster, and higher with media crackdowns 2 years before the Beijing Olympics. There's a crackdown on journalists stepped up. There are fears it could also be applied to foreign journalists coming to cover the games. And Wikipedia-style online encyclopedia closes under Chinese government pressure. It had already been blocked in China since October 05. I've been hearing from members of the Ham Radio intruder watching community that the Chinese are at it again. Jammers running inside the ham bands on 14260 and just outside on 18180 at various times. These, of course, are believed to be against the clandestine Sound of Hope. Another day, Uli Billmeyer, head of the DRAC intruder watch in Germany, heard them on 18160, which, as I recall, is just barely in the ham band. I'm afraid filing complaints, even through diplomatic channels with China about this, is not going to do any good, since it's obviously the highest priority for them to jam stations such as Sound of Hope, even if they're inside the international amateur radio bands. In addition to some domestic services, the Voice of Malaysia is now available via web streaming, www.rtm.net.my. I listened for a while during their Voice of Islam program starting at 03 UT. There were quite a few faults in the audio, but at least it's better than shortwave here as far as hearing Voice of Malaysia. Although they call it Voice of Islam, it's not a service airing nothing but the Quran. I, in fact, heard a travelogue and some rock music. More problems at the Voice of Indonesia, their high power and otherwise well-received outlet on 9525, was 1 kilohertz high, heard on August 4th, but missing since August 5th. The RSGB, via Mike Terry, reminds us that the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend runs 48 hours, starting at midnight 1 UT, August 19th. There will be lots of special event ham radio operations, details at www.illw.net. Mike Barraclough refers us to a website promoting internet freedom you might want to check out. It's irrepressible.info. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued August 8th. Solar activity very low to low. Geomagnetic field mostly quiet to unsettled. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 3 August 24th and 28th, 20 and 4 on September 3rd, but a long stretch of only 5 and 2 August 12th through 22nd. Solar flux 75 August 10th through 21st, and then down to 70 until September 4th. And so concludes World of Radio 1325. Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.